we should maybe do this afterwards because
we'll have clinking. Yeah, we'll do it afterwards.
Okay,
we'll do it afterwards.
Mrs. Strachey.
Probably died or moved into a retirement home.
Oh, but that's all you know? That's not that. There's a biography of her that's in a university library near us that I've been. Because what
you
I think.
You found it?
Yeah, there's one at Mills and one at Berkeley.
Oh.
Because Laura, you'll appreciate this. I mean, she was a magistrate in juvenile justice, which in the 30s had to be.
That's a big deal.
Unusual. Yeah. And to take in 8 kids, I guess, if you say Anne said she was 5, so they were between the ages of 5 and 8. But Dad thinks she took 2 of the most difficult kids on purpose, knowing that they might have a hard time placing them.
How many of them were her own?
Oh, none. She had grown children. She was retired, or was she still working as a magistrate?
Retired.
And her husband was a famous, was Lit, not Litton Strachey.
No.
No, the other Strachey, the journalist.
St. Luke.
Luke Strachey? Was there a Luke Strachey?
St. Lou Strachey was her name, but was that his name too?
Yeah.
Okay. And he was a famous journalist. And he was already deceased. So she had this empty house with a staff.
So and on her own, without her husband around.
Right.
Took in 8 children.
Yes.
All from the kinder transport.
None of them were kinder transport. They were just all evacuees. We think it was by school. Because we were talking about it today, and because we went to the building that was their school in Albury. And I said, it's just a house. How do they fit all these kids in? And we figure it was probably by grade. Because he didn't know the other kids, but they were roughly the same ages.
It must have been from my school, because that was the unit for the evacuation.
And then he said the teachers went.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think is so I was doing a parallel with Sophie, as if, you know, her friends and her teachers all moved an hour away and stayed for 5 years. Do you want to try?
A strong Churchill to English, but he was not, I mean, he didn't come with great English.
He's your father, you're talking.
Yeah. And, I mean, his thing was mathematics, you know, mathematical engineering, which is very complicated. It's not even mathematics.
Did he have a specialty in mathematics?
Special.
In mathematics?
Yeah, yeah. He I think he was a professor in Berlin. But all that was taken away when the Nazis came.
But he was able to teach here.
He was, eventually. He got a job and then built his... It was at the Guildford Technical College.
So you think he first came to Guildford and then got the job?
I think so.
And who sponsored them, do you know?
That I don't know.
Really?
That was a mitzvah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they left after September 1st then. You said they were still in Berlin?
No. They got out just before war broke out, because they must have been very close to it, because, as I say, they were stopped from going to America. I could have been a somebody. I could have been an American.
Yes. Were they at Le Havre already or something? Maybe.
Must have been, yeah.
Or it could be at the point where the U-boats were bombing all the ships.
The U-boats were the great threat to the Atlantic traffic. Although I don't think they actually started in 39, because they wouldn't have started before war broke out. Maybe they were ready.
They were ready. I'm not sure.
So at some point...
Because a lot of ships... Laura's... who was it?
My grandfather was on the City of Benares. Did you remember about the City of Benares? It was full of children being evacuated from here to America.
From England?
From England to America.
Yeah.
And it was attacked by U-boats and virtually everyone drowned.
But not your grandfather?
No, he drowned. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was said to have given his life for women and children. Some of them were saved. I think there were some survivors, weren't there?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many.
And your mother was born already, obviously.
She. The story is that my mother and her sister. My mother was 12. Her sister was 16. were going to America to live with an aunt and uncle. In order to be safe. And my grandfather was going to travel with them on the city of Benares, and he heard quite close to the time of passage that the little boats that are supposed to protect the main vessel had been minimized in number, so they've been reduced in number. He got nervous about that, so he decided to put the two girls on another passage, on another boat, and he went on the city of Benares, and it was bombed.
But they were going from where?
From England to America.
So why? I didn't know that they were evacuating children from England to America.
Yeah.
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 And then
yeah.
You came back here after the war?
Well, my mother and sister spent 4 years in America at that time in their lives, which for my mother was extremely difficult because the aunt and uncle, who they didn't know at all, were very unwelcoming. They were very unkind.
Yeah.
And their daughter was even more unkind. Mm. So, you know, my mother arrives at the age of 12. She hears very soon afterwards that her father has died and she's never going to see him again. They thought that they would go to America. They didn't know it was going to be 4 years. They thought it would be a period of time. The father was coming over in order to find somewhere for them to live. The intention being that my mother and aunt would only live with the aunt and uncle for a short period of time. So he never arrived. They heard of his death.
Where was their mother?
Their mother was still in England. Because he was going to bring her over once
later.
He'd found somewhere for the family to live.
Very done. Thank you.
So, children being evacuated over to America from here must have been once the war had begun. Because, well, it must have been funny, because their boat was bombed by U-boats. So.
Well, when was that? When was the boat?
I don't remember.
It must be after September the 1st.
Well, it must have been very close to it. I think that would have ruined it.
Not because, excuse me, there was... That, the first war, there was the phony war, when nothing happened. And a lot of kids went back to London who had been evacuated, because there were no blitz, no nothing.
Well, evacuated to the country in England, you mean? Not evacuated abroad.
No, but those that were evacuated out of the country, some of those went back to London because nothing was happening.
Right. Yeah.
So you could find the record for her mother, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. You tried, good. Yeah.
Away from her parents.
Where were they?
Well, the mother stayed in England.
No, what city?
Chicago.
Oh, that's where his father ended up, too. Yeah.
You know, they'd come from a small, independent, private...
Not me.
School
Sophie.
In London, and suddenly they're in these big,
you interested in
American
pudding?
Schools.
Yes. What are you going to do?
When I realised what I needed to do,
a lot of boys are very cruel.
Which for
me
was it was truly a calling. I worked like I'd never worked before, but I could never see the point in most of what I was taught.
Yeah.
Well, British schooling was different then, and it's still quite different, I would imagine. Depends on where you are. You were in a private school or a public school?
First of all, I went to a state primary, so that's public school in American terms.
Yeah.
Then I went to a state secondary, a grammar school.
Uh-huh.
You probably know the system. So did Philip.
Well, we went to the same school.
Of course. And then in the sixth form, I went to a private school.
And where you taught was...
I think the education was good,
was
actually,
private.
Because in those days, the grammar schools were fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, they were really good.
We were talking about the time that I spoke at Laura's school.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got this on?
Yeah.
And this little kid stands up and says, "Mr. Samuel, what was it like having two mums?" You know what a mum is? A mother, yeah.
You didn't have two mums.
Yeah, I did. Because my mom came to the Epstein house.
Oh, Mrs. Epstein.
And Mrs. Epstein.
Oh.
They treated me like a member of the family.
Of course, in our day, two mums means all the kids with lesbian parents. Which, she's got bunches of friends
funny.
With that.
Never thought of it,
No, but they'd understood. I thought you were touched because it was an insightful question.
Yes,
but
it was.
Mr. Samuel, he loved that.
Well, this was something I insisted upon.
Yes.
I kept cannot bear it when young people are disrespectful to their elders or superiors.
Thank you.
And betters.
Respect
you're
has...
You're not really that.
No, but they are your parents, to whom you owe every respect.
Yeah.
So you should curtsy when you come in. Bow to your father every morning when you get up.
Oh, I love the idea of curtsy. Can you teach her how to curtsy?
I could teach her how to curtsy. And interestingly, if you watch the films of this, of the banquet, for example,
yeah,
in Buckingham Palace, it was very interesting to notice that when the Queen processed through, only the older women curtsied.
Yeah. Oh.
Including the British women? Or
I know, I think Sophie's going to have...
formal occasions when the pupils would have a speaker. I think it's incredibly important that they know they address, when they have a question, they first of all speak the speaker's name and they say it as a surname.
Yeah.
They don't just say the question, what do you think about so and so? It's so rude. So it was an absolute rule.
Yes.
They got the headmistress's glare if they failed.
She's
to.
Very good at glaring. I get it sometimes. It's like the head of producer.
Perry's eyeball is what she calls it. That's what her teacher calls it.
No, American teachers.
All American teachers call it.
What do they call it?
Hairy eyeball.
Hairy eyeball.
Give
that's
you the hairy
one.
Eyeball.
That's a very good one, yeah. So, yes, Mr. Samuel, wouldn't it be terrible if a girl of 12 or 18, anything between, spoke to your grandfather and called him Ralph?
That's all they do. The only there was only one mother on my block who had to be called Mrs. and everyone made fun of that because it was California and still nobody knows. People just call me Sophie's mom, usually.
Yeah, I'm just Sophie's dad.
I was on the
well, her teacher... Sorry, go ahead, Ellie. No,
when they would call me by my first name in America...
It was cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because Anne wrote a book. Anne Savage, one of the girls, wrote a book...
Evacuee girls.
About the whole evacuee experience.
Details.
Enormous detail. Enormous detail. One of the stories that she tells, which whenever I even think about it, blows my mind. One of the problems with the kids had is they wet the bed.
They wet the bed.
And so my mom never made a big deal of it. And, you know, and the girl would say, but I remember going to the toilet. And my mom said, well, the next time when you think that you're going to the toilet, reach underneath, and if the bowl isn't cold, then you're dreaming.
Huh.
You know, you have to feel the toilet underneath you. And if it's cold, then you know that you're on the toilet. And I thought that that was so insightful.
Yeah.
How on earth did she ever come up with that?
Yeah.
Well, she made a whole career out of working with children.
That's right. Because, something very interesting. A couple of months ago, I was the...
Not even a month ago, I think.
Not even a month ago. I was honored as a Holocaust survivor by the city of Berkeley. And I was the principal speaker at the Yom HaShoah service. And they asked me to send them some photographs. So I sent them some old photographs. And the vice mayor, who's evidently very much into Holocaust history things, sent one of the pictures out to be commercially enhanced. And so there were these three little kids.
From Germany. This is
from
Germany.
What, 4 or 5 years old? I was one. Me, my cousin.
You guys looked like two or three.
They were pretty little.
Hold it. I was one?
The picture of you guys, like, with the unknown girl?
Yes.
Yeah, you guys looked like toddlers.
Like, so you thought I was three?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's these three pictures. Me, these three people. There's me, age three, my cousin, who would be four, and a cute little girl. And for the first time, you could see that my left leg didn't have a shoe on and was bandaged.
Mm.
So that's when I had polio.
Very early.
Very early.
Mm.
And so my mom learned some lessons to do with me.
Exercises
to do with me. And after, as the war was finishing, she went to the Guildford Borough Council and asked them if she could start a well baby clinic. And in those days, they only had clinics for sick kids. What my mom wanted to do was a clinic for well babies. And so she had this equipment that she had learned to use. They were wooden slides and a ladder that was sort of, I think it was curved this way or this way, and it had little steps on it. And she had all these reproduced. And so she started a clinic.
She was like physical therapy.
Was it because of rickets
or things from...
It was that many children in England had rickets because of malnutrition.
She wants to know what rickets
is. Rickets is a weakness of the leg, so that I think that the kids are very bow-legged. You know, that's when the legs... The knees...
Lack of vitamin D.
Lack of calcium.
And calcium.
Yeah.
Calcium,
yeah.
Milk.
Right. Yeah.
Opa was fortunate because when he was at the manor house, they had a garden, and where they grew a ton of food. They had chickens, so they had fresh eggs. But most children during the war had very, very, there just wasn't much to eat for anybody.
Right.
So he actually...
Or even after the war, actually, because everything was rationing.
In fact, what Anne said afterwards when we talked about it, she said, you know, we were incredibly lucky to have been evacuated, because we had a better life growing up than we would have if we had stayed in London.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, much because most of the kids came from neighborhoods that weren't, you know, couldn't run around and be out in the...
That's right, that's right. And we were out in the
countryside,
you know, in the wild and, you know, running around the countryside. And, we had much better food than if we had stayed in London.
And both you and Anne were only children. What about the others? Bun?
What
about Pat? Were they all only children too? Because they weren't with their siblings except for the Stringer boys.
None, that's right. The Stringers were the only ones that were siblings, were brothers.
So did they have siblings who weren't evacuated together? Or were they all only... Because being an only child common then?
Yeah.
Maybe in those days, yeah.
Because of the war.
Maybe because...
But it was too early. I mean, you were long before the war.
Not necessarily lucky enough to be evacuated together, were they?
So that's what I was wondering. I figured they were just because if they went by age, maybe they put them in different areas. Like if they did by grade, right? They would have a couple years going here and a couple years from the same school going elsewhere.
I don't know how they organized. But I do know that siblings wouldn't necessarily be lucky enough.
Yeah.
Right.
It depended on how many people a parent could take.
Same with kinder transports. People might have gone together, but then they were split up.
Other thing was interesting, as the evacuees got to a certain age when you take an exam, was it 10 plus or something? 11 plus. That's an age 11,
yes.
Not 11th grade. Age 11.
What's the exam for?
At 11 plus.
In those days, it was to allow you to go from primary school to, you either went to a grammar school, which was academically tougher, or you went to, what did they call it then?
Technical, wasn't it? Technical.
Comprehensive?
No, not then. It was either grammar school or technical.
I think it was technical.
And then you learned a trade.
No,
secondary modern.
And so you'd get the secondary modern, you'd have a more technical education to pay you for a place of work, whereas grammar school theoretically would place you for university or something.
Wow. You're never going to eat all that.
Do you want a photograph of that?
Yes.
We have to pause it.
Go on.
So, Laura, because I never understood this, because we read in the book about people taking tests, and I thought it was to go to high school, but
it is.
But high school starts at 11.
What you have is you used to have infant school, which was from 4 to 7 or 6, 6, 7, and then junior school 7 to 11. Yeah, 10, 11. And then senior school, 11 to 18.
Okay.
And the senior schools were of two types, either grammar or secondary modern for a technical education. And you took an exam at what they called 11 plus. Yeah. And the 11 plus was your deciding factor.
And in Albury, when it was time for the kids to take the 11 plus.
Exam,
the local teachers said you can't do that because they didn't want the 11 plus because they needed the kids to stay, to want to go to technical school and stay to work on the farm and do the trade.
Right, yeah.
And be servants.
Yeah. Who said that? The people who evacuated?
So the evacuees were not allowed.
Mm. That's right. And the London teachers said, sorry, you know, we're now living in 1940 and that doesn't go. And so then they started allowing all the kids to go to the 11 plus exam.
Oh, the London teachers refused to go with
that. The London teachers refused to go along with that.
So you, in the country, did take the 11 plus?
I believe so.
You did,
yeah, because I must have passed that in order to go to Woking Grammar School.
Exactly.
So was Woking Grammar what we would call public school?
Yes.
Then what did you have school fees for?
That's private school.
But you had some school fees, right? Because we got something, the Immigrant Society or whatever had a record for my dad.
Of money that he paid?
No, of everything about his, it's basically the group that brought over the kinder transports. They probably sponsored them and they kept track.
I don't think they needed school fees.
No.
I think they needed...
Oh, books and clothing,
books,
maybe. Okay.
Books and clothing, right.
So that was what it was. Okay.
Sophie, tell me how's the treacle pudding?
I'm gonna send a bite
good.
Down to Opa.
I would love a bite if I could.
We have to find a utensil for you.
Can I borrow your fork
or a spoon?
Oh yeah, I have a spoon.
You're gonna want it for this custard sauce, I bet. So how about I?
Oh, what a sweet kid.
She is.
Cornmeal.
You've had
treacle
before.
Mm.
I think
it's
treacle.
It's not really treacle is a sweet
like molasses,
grain.
As you say.
Oh, okay.
Okay, for the other visit.
Oh, yeah. Do we need to call
this
them?
Afternoon?
We're going to 26 Lincoln Road.
Mm.
What's at 26 Lincoln? That's where he
lived.
That was my mother's house.
And the people who bought it from his mother still own it.
Same people. They bought it from my mother.
We're meeting them.
They bought it from my mother.
And they're going to show us what they used to, you know, where they did reservations, what it used to look like. Isn't that amazing?
That was probably since the
1963. They bought it in 63.
Yeah.
Same people.
We think they're all quite old.
Very old. They must be very old. Yeah.
Gosh.
Obviously,
you,
when
you
we went
time to get there,
8, 9 years
that
ago, they looked
can you just
very
tell
old.
Them? We'll call them, tell them we're running a little bit late.
Oh, there's no coffee yet,
my phone.
Mm. When we get finished, once we finish, then we can say that, you know,
we can
give
them
the
job.
I think he's working on it. I have the custard sauce. I'm pouring in my spoon. That's all I want is custard sauce. I need the pudding.
There's still coffee coming.
Oh, you're right. You're right. But we'll ask for the bill as well.
Jordan, we ordered some coffees that don't seem to have arrived.
Full Phillips coffees, yes, sorry, I said that you ordered them after.
No, it's very fine. Thank you.
I appreciate not being...